I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. You know, when you're born again, you're born of God, you are born an overcomer. That's what you are. Spiritually. Now, you don't have to act like it. You can let this ungodly world dominate your thinking, and you can live by your feelings, and you can live in the dark and not be what you were made to be. But at the time the Word of God begins to come into your life and nourish you, and the light begins to come on, if you'll believe it, if you'll receive it, if you'll respond to it, you can become very strong. Yes. And this is so important because your people need you to be strong. Yes. Your family needs you to be strong. Mm-hmm. Your siblings, your spouse, your children. I mean, you know, depending on where they are on any given day, if something rocks them, and there's stuff in this world that can, they're looking for something to hold on to. They're looking for something that's stable. And as a believer, as a child of God, that should be you. Because you are anchored, hallelujah, in the Christ. And you are standing on the solid rock. And the psalmist talks about this. You know, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. And Jesus talked about that when you are a doer of His Word, that it's like a house that's built on a solid rock foundation. And no matter how hard the wind blows and how much the rain falls, it won't move it. Mm-hmm. Somebody say, unmovable.
Unmovable.
On the rock.
On the rock.
Solid foundation.
Solid foundation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's supposed to be you. That's supposed to be you. And me, and it'll influence others to be that way too. They'll realize I don't have to be spastic. I don't have to be wavering. I don't have to be vacillating, disconnected. I can be solid. I can be confident. But you won't be just confident from anything. It has to come from the unfailing Word and from the unfailing Holy Spirit. Father, we submit ourselves to You. We open ourselves up to You to fill us with Your Spirit. Fill us with Your Word. Fill us with Your truth that we may be established, stable, and strong, and bright light witnesses for You in this dark world, and a real help and strength and support to all those round about us. We ask it. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, so be it.
So be it.
You know, that's what Mary said when the angel brought the word of Jesus' conception and birth to her. She said, be it unto me according to Your word. That's, she's receiving it, right? And she obviously believes it. Well, we've been feeding ourselves on the word for a number of weeks now on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we've been going one by one through 30 reasons, not just opinions and ideas, but scriptures, great truths from the Word of God that prove beyond any question that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Let me hear you say it, class. Abundant provision
is always
God's will
for us all.
Say it again. Abundant provision is always
God's will
for me. See, that's every day of your life, every week and month and quarter and year. It's God's will that you have what you need.
Amen.
And that you be able to pay your bills and take care of everything. Lack is not God's will. Poverty, failure, loss, not God's will. And some people will tell you that it is, but they're wrong. What does the scripture say? If they say, well, no, sometimes God uses poverty to teach you and develop you, then say, well, hey, Brother Keith gave me 40 reasons why it was God's will. How about you give me 40 reasons right from the scripture?
Amen.
And see how you come out. Go with me to Acts, the 4th chapter. Our 30th reason in our study is the beginning days of the church. And we see in Acts 2, when they were all filled with the Spirit, they were in one place, one accord, in a wonderful, holy unity. And man, you talk about spectacular manifestation. The wind was blowing inside the house. On another occasion, the house was a-shaking.
Yes.
Whole building, while they were praying, and there was no weather outside. And then flames of fire appeared and were flickering and burning above their heads and came and sat down on their head, and they flew into speaking in tongues. And you're seeing the lame man at the gate called beautiful healed, and signs and wonders and amazing things. And in the middle of this, nobody lacked.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There was abundant provision for everybody. And this went on for years, day after day, month after month, year after year. In the 4th chapter, thousands were being saved, so the church was large. And in verse 32, it says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. We read the different translations that said there was not one poor person among them. There was no poverty among them, and this is among at least 10, 20,000 people. You couldn't find a one that was in lack in the whole church. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them. Now, like we said before, the possession of it meant you owned it. And of course, elsewise, if you didn't own it, if you had three loans on it or whatever, you couldn't give the money when you sold it. You just had to pay the debt. No, they owned these things free and clear. So you had to have that before you could even give like that. Right?
Right.
Is it God's will to have some rich people?
Yes.
That own properties?
Yes.
Buildings?
Yes.
Lands?
Yes.
It sure worked out good
yes.
in the early days of the church.
Yes.
I wonder if it's still his will.
Yes.
Or has he changed or come up with something different or he does things differently now?
No,
he doesn't. He hasn't changed. Don't let somebody tell you that he has. Exactly what happened here is what's supposed to happen now. Same kind of things. As many as were possessors, owners of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices, brought the money of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Everybody say distribution.
Distribution.
You'll find this word at least a half a dozen other places in the New Testament talking about the same idea. Distribution meant to, like we would think, meet out or divide out among a group. It's what they did when they fed the 5,000. The word is used, distribute. Jesus blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and they distributed it. God's looking for distributors.
Yes.
Kingdom
yes.
distributors.
Yes.
And he will use people just like you.
Yes.
Just like me, if you have a heart for it. And if you, in order to distribute something, it's got to come into your hands
right.
where you have control of it.
Yes.
In this case, you own it. And then it's got to leave your hands. Y'all go help me preach this
yes.
now. Huh? It's got to come into your hands.
Yes.
You can't give what you don't have.
Right.
So to start with this, you got to have a revelation and believe that God wants you to have something above and beyond your three meals a day and something to wear once in a while. He wants you to have resources that would be like houses, properties,
yes.
lands.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
That you own free and clear.
Yes.
And that though, but you're not so attached to them that you can't part with them. You will do exactly what he tells you. No matter how much resources he puts in your hand, it flows in,
yes.
it flows through,
yes.
it flows out.
Yes.
You have become a kingdom distributor.
Amen.
Anybody like the sound of this? Go to 1 Timothy, please. The 6th chapter. 1 Timothy. So much in this chapter. A lot about money in this chapter. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, he said that because in verse 5, it said there are corrupt people that think gain is godliness. From such, withdraw yourself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You need some money, but money cannot satisfy you. Money cannot give you heart satisfaction. Money cannot give you core contentment. If you think getting that house is what's just going to finally make you happy forever, you're wrong.
That's right.
You're wrong.
That's right.
If you think getting enough money to, okay, I can retire, I can do this, and that's going to make you happy, you're wrong. You're wrong. You can't enjoy things and money unless you've already got contentment from God.
That's right.
Huh? You can't. Because a natural thing can't satisfy a spiritual hunger.
That's right.
It can't. Because it's not spiritual. And so he says, verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Nobody was born with possessions, right?
Amen.
You come into the world, not a stitch of clothes.
Right.
Is that right?
That's right.
No jewelry, no money,
nothing.
You come in naked, helpless, huh? And when you leave, somebody may put some clothes on your body, but it'll be the last one. And they may buy you a box, or they may buy you an urn, or whatever it is, but you won't take anything with you. And even if they put something in the grave with you, you're already gone.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
And you can't take it, and you didn't take it.
That's right.
Now, that doesn't mean that you go into heaven empty-handed. The Bible said that believers and godly people, they rest from their labors, and their works do follow them.
Yes.
So to say you can't take it with you depends on what you're talking about.
Right?
Right?
Yes.
Your works do follow you. Every good thing you've done will follow you, and you will get to take that with you. But you won't take one material thing or $1 or £1, nothing. Why talk about that? Why say that? And some people would say, well, that's just depressing, Brother Keith. That's because you think wrong.
That's right.
If you thought right, it wouldn't be depressing. It just would be reality. Mm-hmm. You just understand everything down here that I'm seeing and everything possession that would come in my control, I just need to know this is not forever. This is not going to last forever. I can't take it with me. So it's all that it's worth is usefulness for the time, or helping somebody for the time, and I am the steward of it.
Yes.
And the Lord is counting on me to distribute it.
Yes. Amen.
Right?
Yes.
At the right place, at the right time. Now, if he's somebody, if you're somebody, and I'm somebody that will listen to him and that he can trust, he will add resources above what you ever imagined in your life, because he needs people that will listen to him. And if he says, okay, you know, he brings in $10,000 to you and you never seen $10,000 liquid in your life, and you're sitting there going, whoo, I got $10,000. And then next week he says, I want you to give that $10,000 over here. If you won't do it, you're not a distributor.
Amen. That's right.
Can you see this?
Yes.
If you cling to it, then you have fear. Mm-hmm. You're dominated by a fear of running out.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
But if you know it's him dealing with you, and you know, well, how did I get this 10 to start with? He brought it in.
That's right.
Could he bring in another 10?
Yes.
Or a 50?
Yes.
Or a 100?
Yes.
Huh? 1,000? Then,
yes.
Then why should I be so reluctant to let it go? Because is it true that when you give according to the way he tells you to, that's not the end of it? It's going to come back.
Yes.
Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Here's the thing we got to get in us to push the fear out.
Yeah.
Being a liberal giver will not make you run out. It will not break you.
Amen.
Being a big giver, if you're listening to the following the Spirit I'm talking about,
right,
you will not go broke. You will have more than you've ever had.
Amen.
Multiplied more.
Yes.
Now, is that just my idea?
No.
Or is there scripture that talks about this and reveals this? He said, all of this is good, but go to verse 17 for time's sake. Charge them that are rich in this world to get rid of them old riches.
No.
You can't be rich and serve God?
No.
No. The first thing is, you got to quit thinking you're all that.
That's right.
Just because you got a big house. And,
yes.
Right? I mean, you're the same old boy you used to be.
That's right.
The same old girl, right? I mean, just because you got a fancy car, you got some nice threads, don't be high-minded.
Right.
Don't be haughty.
Yeah.
Don't be snooty. Yeah. And don't trust in the money. Don't think money's going to fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
It can't. You can't buy a healing.
That's right.
Huh? You can't buy a good marriage.
No.
Huh? You can't buy good kids.
No.
Can't.
Can't.
Cannot. You can't buy peace of mind.
No.
You can't buy joy
no.
in the Holy Spirit. And thank God you don't have to. It's already paid for.
Right.
And it's free. Don't be high-minded and don't trust in uncertain riches. Now, he had said in verse 10 that the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's where folks have really got this twisted up, and they've had satanic help getting it mixed up. They've said and preached and affirmed money is the root of all evil. He never said that. That is not right. No. And he's telling the rich people, don't get rid of that old money, that evil money. No, no. Money is not good or bad. It's a currency of exchange.
Yes.
You can... You know, you can feed somebody or you can put a contract on somebody
mm-hmm.
with the same money,
right?
Right?
That's right.
I mean, you can buy food, you can buy drugs, same money.
Right.
Right.
And if money could talk, it would say, hey, don't blame me. I'm just doing what you... It's the love of the money. It's loving money and trusting money. That is the problem. And those things are a root of all kinds of evil and all kinds of problems. But you can't blame the money. It's the love of money. It's the trust of money. And then he says, but trust in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. Now, we're going to be talking about that down the road. But ready to what?
Distribute.
Ready to what?
Distribute.
Distribute, willing to communicate or share, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. We've got to get it settled. And there's no such thing as being too persuaded, too convinced. Even when you think you are, you can still be more to the place. And you want to get stronger and stronger in truth so that nothing causes you to question it. Nothing, no kind of reasoning can shake you. When we give, and we give liberally, and we're following the leading of the Spirit, and even giving things like houses and lands and that kind of thing, the enemy wants to scare you before you ever get to that point, that he dealt with me to give $50, let's say, to my coworker here this week. But I need that for my gas, and I need that for lunch. You got to overcome fear.
Yes.
I said you got to overcome fear, or you won't obey.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sitting in church? It's offering time. Really, you should have prayed before you got there about this. But let's say you're late, and you're thinking, yeah, I should give something today. And you open up your pocketbook, and the Lord deals with you to give 100. You got 100 and a 20. And a 10. And before you get to 100, you think, yeah, but I hadn't filled my gas tank yet. And we got this coming up. You know, I have that $30 for that. And so you move over and you get to 10. And you put that in the plate. Maybe nobody knew it but you. And somebody says, well, the Lord always asks you for the biggest thing. I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. You just need to be led. But if he dealt with you to give the 100 and you said, nah, here's the 10, why did you do that? You are not convinced God can get the 100 back to you by the time you need it. It is gross unbelief. Can you see this?
Yes.
Which means you are not qualified to be a distributor. You won't be a distributor. You'll be stuck on the level you are now. But if you'll say, God takes care of me. And if he's dealing with me to do this, he will take care of me. So here we go. Come here, 100. Right?
Yes.
You're going into this. And if you'll do it and you were led by the Lord, you will see. You will not go hungry. You will not run out. It'll come in, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. It'll come in multiplied. Somebody say multiplied.
Multiply.
He said, trust in the living God that gives us richly all things to enjoy. And then he talks about being a distributor. Now go with me over to, Proverbs, the 11th chapter. If you give big, you give a lot, and you give often, in faith, by the leading of the Lord, will you run out?
No.
Huh?
No.
Maybe sometimes.
No.
Huh?
No.
No, you will not. No, you will not. You will not. For one thing, the Scripture says, he that gives to the poor shall not lack. How about that?
Yes.
You know, you want to help people out of their lack and need? That's an insurance that you don't get in need. Can you see that?
Yes.
Not my words, his words. He that gives to the poor, he that has mercy on the poor, shall not lack. Now in Proverbs 11, he talks about this very thing. And he talks about that it is a, looking on from the outside, it's a bit of a mystery. The 11th chapter of Proverbs and the 24th verse. Proverbs 11 and 24. He's talking about giving or holding on to. He said, there is that scatters. Well, scattered is a sowing term. And yet, what happens? It's going away from you. And you're broadcasting it. But what's happening to you? Increasing. And there is that withholds more than is meat. Holding on to it. But that tends to what?
Poverty.
And it's the liberal soul that shall be made fat. And he that waters shall be watered himself. Listen to the New Century. It says, some people give much, but get back even more. Others don't give what they should and end up poor. That rhymes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to read it again. Some people give much, but get back even more. Others don't give what they should and end up poor. Somebody say, not me.
Not me.
The next verse says, whoever gives to others will get richer. And those that help others will themselves be helped. Am I reading the Bible?
Yes, sir.
The New Living Translation says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. And those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The Message says the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Listen to the Dewey. Some distribute their own goods and grow richer. Hallelujah. Somebody said,
that's me.
I'm a distributor.
I'm a liberal soul.
I give freely.
Freely
I receive.
Freely I
give.
And I never
run out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, our time's up again today. I'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.